He's getting in trouble right now because he doesn't match. That's why he's in trouble. Look at his shoes. They don't even match. I mean, what is that? Then they're dirty. That's right. They're dirty. It's his golf shoes. He's golfing today. We got some golfers in the house. I should have gotten some golf jokes is what I should have done. But if you really want to see a golf joke, watch me play golf. That's a tremendous golf joke. It is a knee slapper, for sure, for sure. Yep, yep, yep. So everybody's doing this morning, huh? Yeah, good. Did we have a good long Labor Day weekend and a short work week? We did, didn't we? Didn't we? Not Memorial Day, not Labor Day, Memorial Day. Yeah, it's hard to remember, you know? It's hard to remember. So everybody's doing good this morning? So we're going to get it cranked up. We're going to crank it up. We're going to crank it up. Let's get crunk. What y'all think? No, that's not what I think it means. Oh, okay. So that's that. Unfortunately, for those of us that were born in the 1900s, things change, okay? So if you were born in the 1900s, what you thought that word meant or any word meant, it probably doesn't mean that anymore, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, it just really blows my mind how the words have changed. However, swell still means swell, just so y'all know. Rad still means rad, and cool still means cool. So we're okay. As long as we use those terms, we'll be all right. All right, well, let's see. I'm trying to bring jokes like I got in trouble in prayer this morning. Does anybody go to prayer at 9 a.m.? Do y'all do the 9 a.m. prayer deal? Yeah? Huh? They should, right? Miss Jody, Mr. Devin, they run that thing. They do a fantastic job of it. And I was in there this morning, and I got called out on the carpet. Well, I ain't called out on the carpet. Jody just asked me to if I wanted to add anything, and I said, sure, I'll add something. And I didn't really know what she was talking about because I was too busy searching for jokes that I have not used on Sunday morning yet. So I kind of got a little embarrassed. It was a fun time. For those of you that were in prayer, you know, you appreciate it. Greg just starts talking and it has absolutely nothing to do with what Jody just said, you know? It's absolutely nothing. It's like she's been talking about apples and I'm talking about, I don't know, quantum physics. You know, it's just I'm way out there. I'm not in the right spot. Oh, my phone keeps resetting. So, in light of that, why is it, I think I used this one last week, but we'll find out. Why is it a bad idea to iron a four-leaf clover? Because you don't want to press your luck. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What did one toilet say to the other? Now, you look flushed. Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. I like toilets. Anybody else like a toilet? Man, a toilet's a great thing to have. If you don't have a toilet, God bless you. I love my toilet. What did you say? Moving on. What's red and bad for your teeth? I know I've done this one before. What's red? What and what? A brick. Thank you very much. What's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. Okay. What has more lives than a cat? What has more lives than a cat? A frog, because it croaks every day. Oh, is that enough? Y'all don't want one more? I got a couple down here. I got a couple. Wah, wah, wah. All right, this one, I think I've done this one before too. What's brown and sticky? Well, why'd y'all jump in? You didn't even let it land. Like the more seasoned generation, like they don't even know what I said yet. They're still trying to, what? Stick. Yeah. I mean, that's all y'all heard was a stick. Anyway, all right, so that's it. Everybody good this morning? All right. My jokes just absolutely are terrible today, but that's okay. That's quite all right by me. So what have we been talking about, y'all? Jesus, yeah, heaven, God, the Bible, you know. Yeah, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost, but more specifically how the Holy Ghost helps us to be a witness as opposed to just doing witnessing. You know, for years and years and years, the church has just been doing witnessing. Let's go do some witnessing. You want to go do some witnessing at the bar? Let's go stand outside the bar and do some witnessing, as opposed to actually being a witness. If you pay attention to the way that the master walked on the earth, whenever Jesus was on this earth, he went places and he was a witness of the goodness and mercy and love of God everywhere that he went. That's what he did. He didn't sit down and just witness to people. He sat down and shared the heart of God with everybody that he came in contact with. I know I've said it here before and I'll say it again. Y'all remember Jesus of Nazareth, the miniseries? The 1900s know what a miniseries are. So like for those of us that were born in the 2000s, a miniseries is like a Netflix show that only has 4 episodes. Okay? That's it. It's got 1 season with 4 episodes. Yeah, it's a limited series on Netflix, or a mini series. Y'all remember that one? Came out in the 80s, Jesus of Nazareth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Y'all remember that one? Yeah. Huh? Blue-eyed Jesus. That blue-eyed devil. He was so cute. Oh, my, tell you what. They snatched us with them blue eyes, didn't they? They just had us in there. So if you remember in Jesus of Nazareth from the 80s, that he was telling the story of the prodigal son, okay? You can find the story of the prodigal son in your Bible. By the way, who brought their Bibles today? Like the actual paper Bibles. Let me see. Fantastic. That's good. Whoa! Look at this guy back here. Let's look at that. Is that not a Bible right there? That is a weapon. whenever it says that the Word of God is a sword, no kidding, man. And your shield, that's right. You got to have a permit to carry that thing, don't you? Yeah, that's, oh, you could sit on it. Oh, that you went up by at least 6 inches, dude. So anyhow, the story of the prodigal son in this miniseries, they're telling the story of the prodigal son. And I love what the director did. In the Bible, it doesn't really give this setting, but the director gave this setting. He actually put Jesus in a bar, like a tavern kind of thing is where he was. And there were tax collectors, there were ladies of the night, and there were basically, you know, drunkards and partiers and revelers. You know what I'm talking about? Red River Revels coming up. So the revelers, the people that just... And so these people are in the room and the disciples are all standing outside. The disciples won't even come in. The disciples won't even go where the sinners are. If you remember in the Bible says that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it, the church. We're supposed to go through the gates of hell and go get them. Don't be afraid to walk up in there. Don't stand out on the backside of gate. The gates of hell are there to keep us out, not to keep them in. We can go right straight through the gates of hell and bring those folks back. All we got to do is be willing to walk through the doors that are presented in front of us. Amen. So anyway, the disciples stood outside of this bar, this tavern area, and they would not go in. And Jesus begins to tell the story of the prodigal son because all the people that were in the tavern knew who he was. And they're like, what are you doing up in here? And he just, I'm chilling, hanging out, having a good time. Let me tell you a story. And right there in that story, he began to tell the story of the prodigal son. And in that moment, he had captured the minds and the heart of everyone in the room, so much so that the disciples started to come in to actually be a part of what Jesus was doing inside a tavern. I love the picture of that because that shows exactly the heart of our master. Our master went places that nobody else would go. Our master would step through doors that nobody else would step through. Our master would talk to people that nobody else would talk to. Our master would be around people that nobody else wanted to be around because of why? Because he shared the love of God everywhere he went and he became a witness of the kingdom of God. We are called to do the same works that he did on this earth. It's not just the miracles that we're looking for. The miracles and the signs and the wonders are there. But the works that we will do, he said, you'll do greater works than these because I'm going to go to my Father. How do we do those greater works? Those greater works are found in us not being afraid to step into the places where he stepped into. We'll do even greater and more fantastic things because we're willing to go even deeper and further than he was able to. He only did this for 3.5 years while he was on this earth. You've got a complete and total lifetime in front of you. There, you're going to go places that you never thought possible. You will do greater things than he did just by simply being a witness everywhere that you go. Church is not this. This is not church. This is where we get equipped to go do church out there every day of our lives. You do church where you are. You come here to get equipped and ready to go do that. I am here to fill you up with as much word as I could possibly get into you today so that tomorrow when your feet hit the ground, you can hit the ground running and going to make church happen for those that are around you. That's how this thing works. Are y'all with me? So Jesus was not afraid to be in places that he wasn't supposed to be. To go into places that I ain't supposed to be. They don't scare me. I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't bother me. Why? Because I believe that we have been called to be witnesses. So that's what we've been talking about. If you missed anything, it's like all of it scrunched into a little thing. Here we go. And so Jesus told us that we were going to be his witnesses. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, please, Charles. Y'all going to have to buy Charles's lunch today because I'm going to wear him out. Acts chapter 1, Charles, if you would, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, talking about Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, you'll find that in Luke, I think it's Luke 24. You'll find that in the last little bit of Luke 24 where he says to go to Jerusalem, tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus said that you'll receive this promise of the Father. And now he's telling them again, hey, promise of the Father showing up. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall what? Receive power, which is dunamis. This is ability. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, not do, but be what? Witnesses in Mendon, Webster Parish, state of Louisiana, the United States, and the other most parts of the earth. That's our current modern day translation of this. Jesus said for you to be a witness, you have to have this power of the Holy Spirit. And today, what we're going to talk about is the actual, what's called the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to get into a whole lot of little detail, and you're going to have a whole lot of questions. And God has an entire plethora of answers for the questions that are happening, but let's give it a couple, 3 weeks because I'm going to be on this for a little bit. Y'all with me? So let's take it. Let's digest it. Let's look at it. I'm glad for those of you that brought your Bibles. It's cool. Read around where I'm at. Whatever I'm doing, read the stuff before it, read the stuff after it. If you got any problems, questions, concerns, of course, I am always available and ready. But this is such a highly contested subject and has been for so many years that some churches actually believe that whenever you speak in tongues, you're speaking the words of demons. And you're speaking the devil's tongue, and it's the devil. Well, I've been in the places where the devil is, like before I was all about Jesus and trying to live where Jesus. I didn't hear no tongues until I got in church. I'm just saying. I mean, you can go down to Club Isabella's. Is Club Isabella still there? Does anybody remember? Y'all 1900s, you know what I'm talking about. Club Isabella's. All up in Club Isabella's, I ain't never heard no tongues up in there. What? Not at the Roxbury. I mean, it's Club Isabella, I ain't never been up in there. Man, I've been talking too long. I need to get into this. My Lord, we're running out of time here. I'm sorry, y'all. He said, y'all receive power, which is ability, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. That was Acts chapter 1. This is Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, which is a Honda, in one place. like a bunch of clowns all piled up in a little Ohana. Sorry. I'm sorry. Really? I can't. Can't help it. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. Now this is in the city where they were. Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak. They heard the disciples speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Tania, I'm going to say it right just a minute, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, where we hear them speaking our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So Jesus said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for this power, this promise of the Father that I will send. And then in chapter 2 of verse 1, that's the day that the promise came. The Holy Spirit actually moved into and began to live upon the disciples. He said, I will send the promise of the Father upon you. I will send the promise of the Father upon you. The Spirit of God will be upon you. We all know that God is with us. Amen. Can we all agree with that? That God is with us. That no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, whether you believe in him or not, he is with you. He is omnipresent, which means he can be everywhere at the same time, as strong as everywhere. Does that make sense? He can be the same to everybody at the same time, and he can be with you. So we all agree that God is with us. Amen. Most of the world will even tell you that. I mean, even they kind of halfway believe in any kind of higher power, they believe that that higher power is with them. Now, Jesus said that I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, this is in John 14 and John 16, he said that I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will live in you. So when you as an unbeliever, when you are somebody that has never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you, the world, if you've not ever been a part of that transaction, when you enter into that transaction of getting saved, you actually receive Jesus is what's happening. You as an unbeliever will receive Jesus, and you receive him into you. When he moves into you, he moves into you by the way and through the Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of you. Are y'all with me? Then Jesus said to these disciples, and we're going to go on. We're not going to have time this morning, I don't think. But Jesus said to these disciples that I don't need you to be witnesses for me until you receive the Holy Spirit. So there's a second part to the move of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The life of an unbeliever, you receive Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, the Spirit of God comes and lives and dwells on the inside of you. You become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Y'all with me? All right, so that is one transaction that takes place. But as a believer, there is a receiving that we go through where we receive the Holy Spirit upon us. Where you go through and you say, yes, I want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. But then the second part of the step is that as a believer, we receive the Holy Spirit. And in receiving, this is what happened to the disciples. The disciples received the Holy Spirit. They were already believers. They believed on Jesus, saw Jesus, touched Jesus, walked with Jesus, knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They were believers 1,000%, but at this point, they actually received the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? We can't take the Holy Spirit and try to stick him in some little box. Got a question for y'all. How many of y'all do something besides come here? Do y'all do anything else besides come here? Because most of you, the only time I see you is right here. You do some other things? Yeah, me too. Me too. I do other things. Like I'm here on Sundays and I do the Sunday bit. And then on Mondays I get up and I go to work. Anybody else in here work? Y'all do? Yeah, she makes you do. She needs to, Tom. You need to keep working. Dorothy needs her peace time. She doesn't need you all the time. So I go to work, and then after I become Greg the banker. I'm a banker when I do that. Like I count other people's money for a living, and I become Greg. I'm still Greg, but I'm like doing banking stuff for people. Like you get me? You need a checking account. Okay, I'll show you how to get a checking account. But here I'm like pastoring kind of thing. I'm here to equip, you know, kind of get y'all some word and all that kind of thing. So that's a different function. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Then when I get off work, I go home, and guess what I do when I go home? Honeydew. No, I don't do any honeydews. Mm-mm. I don't think I've done a honeydew in quite some time. Yeah, I'm more like a cantaloupe kind of guy. I can't. I'm more of a cantaloupe kind of guy than a honeydew guy. Like, I do more of the cantaloupe. No, I can't do that. Can't. Can't do it. Preach. Amen. Woo! But when I get home, I become Greg, the dad, and the husband. It's a different functionality. It's a different thing that I do. And there's some direction that I have for those people that are involved with that, my children and my wife. There's some direction that I have there that's different than the banker Greg and the pastor Greg. Is this making sense? So the Holy Spirit is the exact same way. We just can't box him in and say that he only does one thing. And the reason why I bring this out is because we're getting into a subject that has a lot of contention. And the reason why the contention exists on this is because the enemy does not want any of us to have what the Bible intends for us to have when it comes to being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want that, because when that happens, when that takes place, then we become just like Jesus was when he walked on the earth. We actually start to do the works that he did, and we get into the greater works than he did. And it really messes the enemy up. He really doesn't want us there. And so for years, I grew up in a multi-denominational family, to where we had all different types. We had a little bit of everything. And I grew up, I actually was around the move of the Holy Spirit and around tongues, and I didn't understand any of it. Didn't necessarily want to either, just to be honest. Had no interest at all. Had no interest in really living for God or anything like that. Didn't care. Really didn't. And so, you rock along and you start doing life and you grow up and you start going through some changes in your life and priorities shift and that kind of deal. And so whenever Angela and I began to be taught, this kind of this information when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and more specifically with being baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues and letting tongues become part of our lifestyle, when we actually started to get taught that thing, I was apprehensive at best to that, and quite frankly, halfway offended by it. Does that make sense? Because I'd grown up in different denominations, and I'd heard of tongues, and I knew that was some things that some people did, and we were at this church, and they're like, you need to be filled. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. I don't think I need to. I think I can kind of just rock along like I'm doing, and just me and God, we good, Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so this was a subject that I fought with for probably years. It's been a little bit. It was a while. And so what I do when I don't fully understand something, you know what I do? I try to understand it. Anybody else ever do that? You know, my granddaddy taught me that years ago. I asked him a long time ago. This is Howard Spillers, man. He's my granddaddy. Everybody, folks that know Howard, you know what I'm talking about. He just kind of straight up, and that's the way he was. Howard Spillers. And so I'm at his house, and I'm like, Papa, why is the sky blue? He said, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't know. But we have the World Book Encyclopedia in the library. I bet if you go and pull the index and look up sky, I bet you could read the section of the world. But y'all know what encyclopedias are? Y'all remember them? M1900, folks. Y'all remember encyclopedia, don't you? This side over here, like right up in here, they're like, oh, what? Is it like, do you ride it? Is it like an encyclopedia that you just kind of ride? And y'all know what it, you know what it is. Ava knows what it is. Ava, one. The rest of them are like, Encyclopedias were big books that had a bunch of information. It was like Google on a bookshelf. Okay? Think Google on a bookshelf. Yeah. A whole bookshelf. Like, it was a bunch of books. And so he taught me, hey, go find out why the sky will be. Well, as of today, I can tell you why the sky is blue if you want to know. Not right now. See me after class. But I mean, I can tell you why, because granddaddy showed me that if I don't understand something, the best thing I can do is go figure it out. Look it up. Research it. Find out what it's all about. So when I did not understand tongues and definitely didn't know what anybody was talking about, just kind of heard it a little bit, kind of knew a little bit about it growing up, kind of a little bit, but not quite so much. My main church I went to, they didn't do that kind of thing. I never did hear any of that. I don't know. This church I'm in now, you know, okay, they're talking about it. They're wanting me to, all right, you need to. What? I don't understand. And if I don't understand, I'm going to stop. I just stop. And I want to understand. I want to get it. So I spent about a year or so. I read just about every book you get my hands on with the Holy Spirit on both sides of the coin, not just the charismatic side, but some of the other denominations, trying to find where the middle was in all of this. I read my Bible, read it again and again and again and again. I mean, really just over and over and over to research this stuff to get myself to a point to where I had at least enough sense of the things of God and what God wanted through His Word to take the step out of the boat. How many of y'all understand that whenever Peter stepped out of the boat, I don't know if he was 1,000% sure that that water was going to hold him up. Seriously. I mean, you think about it. I mean, was he 1,000% sure that that water was going to... No, I don't think so. I believe that he had just enough faith to get out of the boat. And in fact, Jesus kind of said something about that when he got him back to the boat. He said, why do you have such little faith? So he had some faith. And so he had enough faith to step out of the boat. And I got myself, when it come to tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit, I got myself to enough spot to where I was able to take that one foot out and go, okay, I'm not 1,000% sure, but I know enough and I understand enough. And I see Jesus out there on the water. I'm finna go that way. And have enough faith to step out of the boat. And so I would encourage all of us to take our time to read through all the accounts of being filled with the Spirit that we find in Acts. We're going to go back. We're going to look at some things that Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to go and we're going to look at things that Paul said about the Holy Spirit in the epistles. Because the Holy Spirit, as I was saying before, has a dual working. He has more than one thing that He does. And even once we're filled with the Spirit, there's a process that we go through with tongues and experiencing the Holy Spirit and letting Him baptize us and letting Him to come upon us and letting Him move through and in us, you know, so that we could commune with God in a good, in an excellent way. But then there's also another step that he takes. He's got another working that he does in a church service, in a setting like this. There's things that he does in here that Paul talks about in the epistles to help us through this church service to where now it's not so much me talking to God and God talking back to me. It's God using me to talk to others through the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense? And now, and all of this, don't forget, all of this comes back to becoming a witness. Becoming that witness, that effective witness in this dying, hurting world. They need what you got. They need what you got. You have the answer. You have the answer to every question that could be ever questioned. Every concern, every problem, you have the answer. And the answer is Jesus. That's what you have. Jesus just requires us to become more effective so that we can be good witnesses for Him in this world. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to stop right here. We're close enough. I got about 1,400 other scriptures that I want to go over, but we're not going to do it this morning. This morning, your homework. Everybody say, I got homework. Got homework. You got to read Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. Promise? Promise? Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 is your homework for next week. We'll go back through it and then we'll introduce 8, 10, and 19. Okay? Sound good? Okay, cool. We got business to do according to Miss Angel. So, Carly, can you come play the piano? Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. It's powerful, Father. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone and marrow, to where we could see clearly how we're supposed to follow you, Father, and what we're supposed to do for you. We thank you, Lord, that we will purpose in ourselves to be witnesses. Witness. We want to be a witness for you everywhere that we go. Help us, show us how we can use the tools that you've equipped us with to become better witnesses. Because at the end of the day, Lord, all we want to do is expand this kingdom, make big of you, make little of us, and grow your kingdom, grow people, and help folks get to where they can touch you and see you and experience you in new and different ways. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Miss Izzy and Alex, if y'all would.